You talked of the miracle, but the miracle that they engineered in Australia was incredible. The Madonna was hung about, she was gold and shimmering and hung about with the jewels, and the little boy in the marvellous sort of gilded suit and so on. And it really was miraculous. And I hadn't seen it until we did a dress rehearsal. And it absolutely shocked me. You know, you could hardly sort of sing, ah, it took your breath away. It was quite wonderful. And then I saw it before I did it myself. I saw it at the Met. And they did the miracle with lights. And there was nothing there, nothing. And I thought, how can Angelica react to sort of strobe lights or something? I don't know what they were, but anyway, just a display of lights. And I thought, I hope I get something better than that, I thought, and I did.
With the whole very complicated issue of production of opera, direction of opera, how far do you feel you can go? How far is it possible to go, to depart in any sense from the time and the period and the original intention of the composer and the librettist? Because this is now the most controversial point about the whole of opera today.
I'm glad I was out of it before it sort of deteriorated so much, because I think, John, it's now the case of the stage director who wants to show what he can do. Forget about the composer, forget about the tradition, forget about the fact that it's an opera, it's not some crummy show that's going on in I don't know, off-Broadway or something. It's to me, it's dragged opera down to a level that it shouldn't be. I mean, how can you do Traviata in modern dress, Rigoletto in modern dress, Carmen? It's just crazy. Do the Mozart operas in modern dress? No. Wagner? It's all wrong. And I suppose maybe they overspent in the old days, but with the prices that they're charging for tickets in some of the theatres now, including Covent Garden, of course, who of the people can go? I mean, again, Richard and I used to sit up in the Gods in the amphitheatre and paid next to nothing for our tickets. And once I was a member of the company, we used to go and stand by standing passes. And the dear old commissioner, Sergeant Martin, used to come up to us. He said, oh, you're standing tonight, are you? Well, in the interval, come and see me and I'll show you where the seats are. And it was great. I mean, we might as well sit in the seats. It was, after all, our life and our future. You know, that sort of thing doesn't seem to happen now. Maybe it does in the odd case, but who wants to see some of these productions? I don't go to the opera that much because I can't bear to see the beautiful productions sort of poo-pooed and dismissed as being old-fashioned.
Well, one of the problems is, of course, creating or recreating the atmosphere that each work originally had, and there is this fear that people have that it's got to be put into a different place and time, and also sometimes the orientation of the personalities are changed so that it's more comprehensible by today's audiences.
Nonsense. There are books on it, there are libretti that they can read, they can get a program and read what it's all about. Do you mean to say they understand it any less if it's an 18th century costume than if it's a pair of tights and a T-shirt? Come. It's ridiculous.
Well, let's go to our last piece of music, which is particularly, in my personal view, important, because I share Dane Jones' views, in fact, although I'm not supposed to say so, totally, 100%. In La Sonnambula, the charm and the rustic simplicity and sweetness of the whole story and the people, you've got to stage that in the right way, haven't you?
Most definitely, definitely. Puritani, any of these operas, they are period pieces, and they have to be performed in that way. I mean, even Daughter of the Regiment, you had costumes that were of a period. It might have been a bit of buffoonery going on, but I mean, it went on in those days too. It was just a great romp, but I don't know. It goes against the grain. I can certainly say I'm old now, and I am old-fashioned in my desire to see these beautiful works done in the beautiful way. Otherwise, please don't do them.
Let's look at La Sonnambula and as I said before, an immensely touching work, I think. Sweetness in it.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's a certain naivety about it, but it's, again, a favourite of mine, certainly a favourite of Richard's. It was a bit stretching it a bit for me to be sort of the very naive young peasant girl, but I think I maybe have got away with it, again, because I had such lovely costumes. It makes all the difference.
Now, come on, you sang it wonderfully and acted it beautifully, Jo.
Well, I tried, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, but it was definitely a piece for me to sing in a large theatre.
Now, it's one of the great, great, great coloratura virtuoso pieces, and one of the things that is so lovely and comes across so well with you, and particularly in the famous final aria, is that there is, despite this fantastic show of virtuosity, such a simple humanity. That's how it comes through. Because at the end, with this colossal virtuoso aria, and these amazing runs, and it's everything that bel canto singing could possibly be, she is relieved. Her soul is at long last okay. She knows she can marry Elvino. All the misunderstandings have gone, and there's a wonderful feeling of freedom and relief.
Well, I guess it might be mine too, because I'm at the end of the opera, and it has a great finale. I think that it's a classic example of the fact that you have to sing coloratura so that the audience can hear every single note, every single descending phrase, every single turn, every single embellishment. It has to be like flowing water, like a string of pearls, you can use to name it, but you have to hear every single note. And this, of course, is something that doesn't always happen, and it's something that I hear time and time again if I'm adjudicating in competitions. And they say, you know, why do you say that my coloratura is, yeah, sing the notes but it doesn't flow? And that's the trouble. They sing the note and they stick, and they sing one note after the other instead of it just being a ripple.